You have entered trailertrashpodcast.wordpress.com.
Chronic make me paranoid, baby.
Is it true that there is a place in a man's head that if you shoot it, it will blow up?
He got a beautiful Dutch man.
Dutch? Oh, he got all of that one.
Yeah, we're in a tight spot.
Just one moment, please. All systems are functional.
Hey, it's Hal. Ho, what's going on, Hal?
Hey.
Patrick's still here.
Hey.
How was your weekend here in the old apartment? In the studio.
It was sticky, to say the least.
Bauer doesn't care for himself that well.
A lot of Bauer asking me to comb his beard.
You have a beautiful beard, too. I'm just going to lay it out there.
Thank you. It took beard. A long time to grow. I'm not even kidding.
This grows in a night.
Really?
Yeah.
This took like 7 months.
Night.
That's why I won't shave it.
I shave every night, and it comes back. Welcome to Trailer Trash. Trailer Trash is your weekly, tri-weekly podcast that we use upcoming movie trailers to get to know our guests.
Yes.
Today is Wednesday, February 6th, 2013.
How's your February going so far, buddy?
February's going great.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody who downloaded and listened to episode 25 with Dan Scully. It was a big, big fun time for us.
Yes.
So long.
I would love comments about that episode, because there was a lot of interesting shit that happened in that episode. I'd like to know what people enjoyed.
I want to know how people thought about Garrett's Bill Cosby impression.
I really enjoyed doing it.
How Garrett's Jerry Seinfeld impression went.
That was the worst thing I've ever
done
in my life.
Can you give us a little Bill Cosby real fast? Come on.
Yeah, I'm bad at doing these things on command.
Introduce our guest as Bill Cosby.
I tried to podcast to everybody pregnant.
I like it. Tracy Morgan. It's good.
Here we are at the Trailer Trash Podcast again. We're here with the Patrick Graves. He's the man with the red beard in front of me. He got the big old glasses on his face. He look hilarious, man. How you doing?
He click up. Ah! I totally messed that up. That was because your fucking Bill Cosby is on point.
Thanks.
Mr. Oxenbull's my biological father.
Rudy, get up to your bed. It's time to go to sleep.
And see, I love how you just didn't go right. Cause what everybody else does, it goes like, you know, put it pop.
Yeah. It's honestly, that's how I figured the impression out, was by doing that over and over again, was the Joe Pudding Pops thing. And then I started doing the Rudy thing. That's actually how I get into it in my head. I go, Rudy! In my head, and then I can build everything off there.
Have you heard, I'm going to talk about another podcast. Have you heard John Daly doing Bill Cosby Bukowski?
Oh, yes.
It's the funniest fucking thing
in
the world.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And the most recent, episode.
That is a funny fucking concept to me, actually. Yeah. Just the mashup of the names.
Yeah.
And then playing it with the personality of Cosby, if he were the dick that Bukowski was.
Yeah.
That's really fucking funny to me. It's so layered in a weird way.
They just had him on the last week's episode, and it was fucking amazing.
I gotta download that. I haven't listened to that show in a while, but I would listen to it for that. I love that.
It's so good. So we're here with Patrick Graves. Patrick's been here all week. Last week, we talked about Tyler Perry's Temptation for about 3 minutes.
Yep.
That's all it
needs to be said.
Yeah.
We also got into a nice, awesome conversation about top five actors and stuff, and that was deep.
I'm saying this right now. I definitely want to make sure we get Patrick back on sometime in the near future so we can actually have some movie conversations.
I would love to,
podcast.
We dance always in movies.
Oh, I know,
Dan Scully knows a lot about movies.
Oh, I know.
Like that's
he's,
like.
Well, no, he said it himself that he's very lonely. He's either a movie savant or he's very lonely, and I'm going to go with the very lonely
but
part.
But I am always impressed with the leeway we get from our audience when I talk to people, because we don't talk about movies that often on this movie show. So I'm excited to have a guest that we just had a really great movie conversation with.
So today's movie, I'm not going to jump right into it, but I'm going to say. As you can tell by the title, we're doing The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. So I want to kind of wrap this podcast around comedy movies.
Sure.
I want to go through the comedy aspect, because I don't really think we've gotten many conversations about like comedies and such.
We've ever talked about is like comedies that influenced us growing up.
Yes.
So,
which is one thing I just want to know as Patrick, as you were growing up, was there any television shows, like comedy shows that you watched growing up, or was there a movie that stuck out to you that like influenced you for what you do for comedy, like why one of the reasons why you got into comedy.
I mean, I've not like a fat couch potato, but like TV has always had like an effect on me, and movies as well. And I have a huge DVD collection that is TV and movies, just because I can. It takes me out of my world, almost like a pill, where I don't have to think about anything. Mm-hmm. And I get really involved in it. I would say when I was a kid, I thought, and I still to this day, I thought Goonies was probably the greatest movie I'd ever seen. I also, because my dad was young, I saw movies probably, I wouldn't say I was too young to see him, but the thing I recognized when I was a kid was I got it.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't over my head like other kids. Like, I remember seeing Spinal Tap. And just Luke, and not just so laughing because my dad was laughing, but laughing because like I got why it was funny.
You actually understand why.
But
it was funny.
That's a weird movie for you to understand as a kid, because I didn't really understand a lot of it until I was older, because it's so dry that I actually thought it was a real documentary growing up, because I watched it as a kid, and I was like, I understand some of the comedy, like some of the stuff is really funny, but at the same time I was like, oh, it's a mockumentary. And at the time, I had no idea what a mockumentary was.
Yeah, you
was.
Had no concept for it.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny that you clicked with that.
Well, like, that's how we...
It's like how you bonded with your dad.
That's how we were at my house. Like, my dad is... He doesn't do stand-up or anything, but my dad is a comedian. He can do impressions and everything. So, I mean, that's kind of the humor we did at our house, where it was not, like, the obvious, like... hack shit. It was kind of that dry, and if you got it, you were in. If you didn't, I think you weren't out, but you didn't get to enjoy.
Just missed that joke, yeah.
So what I wanted to do is I want to go through like pretty quickly, as quickly as we can before we get into the trailer. Is I want to go around and do your favorite comedy from prior 80s, like before the 80s, 80s movie, 90s movie, and then now, like whatever is like. So, like, movie from, like, the, like, whatever, like, 50s to 80s, and then 80s comedy type thing. So, if you understand what I'm saying, you can...
I think I understand what you're saying. I'm actually trying to think of something that... I'm trying to think of comedies I've seen that are older.
Older?
Probably Annie Hall, actually, would be my favorite comedy from previous to the 80s. I honestly probably have not seen that many comedies from previous to the 80s. But I really like that movie. Yeah,
that's a very good movie. Anything from the 80s that stands out to you?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Hands down, Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters is my favorite movie ever made. Like
the
no
original
question.
Ghostbusters, yep. Because the second one came out in the 90s, right?
I think so. And even so, I'm not. A lot of people have a lot of love for the second one, and I do too, because I'm such a big
the second
Ghostbusters
one's my
fan.
Favorite. My favorite.
I don't understand that. I don't understand why anybody would say they favor that one over the first one. I think the first one is like,
agreed.
It's literally just like laugh a minute. It's hard to describe it this way because you have to have seen it enough times to understand this, but I literally think that every single line in that movie is a punchline.
Yeah.
Every line in that movie.
Don't get me wrong,
I love
that movie. Yeah. Like, but I think the second one is just I think it's just better all around for me, for my, because I think I saw the second one before I saw the first one, because growing up,
sure.
I mean, we weren't alive when the Ghostbusters were out.
Yep.
But I mean, I grew up with the whole Ghostbusters costume because of the second movie. I think it's just because I was alive for the second movie. I think it stands a little bit more with me. It's like I saw it with my dad and stuff like that.
That movie is like endlessly hilarious to me. And there's things in that movie that are very funny to me that like, I saw it at the Ritz a couple years ago.
Okay.
I did like a midnight movie of it. And I had a really cool experience where there are a lot of little things in that movie that I find very funny that I wasn't really sure anybody else found funny. And there were a couple things that, like, only made me laugh, but there were a couple things that I was really surprised were, like, really also big moments for the audience.
Yeah.
Like, there's this line when they're in the library in the beginning and they're investigating, like, the ghosts
that,
you know, they see in the very beginning. And Ray, who is, what's his name's character?
Dan
Aykroyd's character.
At one point he goes,
listen, smell that? And that is one of my favorite lines. That is so funny to me. And I thought for sure I would be the only person that laughed at that, but I got a huge laugh in the crowd, which is kind of, you know what I mean?
That's
kind
all
of cool,
I mean,
validating
when those
experience.
Moments happen.
Yeah.
So going from there to the 90s?
Oh, man, 90s.
Slaps the comedy at its highest.
Yeah, I know. Favorite comedy from the 90s. I don't know.
Want to come back to that? You want to do now?
Well, like, honestly, something probably like Heavyweights or something. Like, because I'm thinking about it, it's like, that's when I was growing up, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, comedies that would have been, like, really affecting to me at that time would have been comedies made for me and in my age group. And I still, Heavyweights actually still holds up to me. Like, I've seen it recently, and I think it's very funny. I might go with that, okay. I guess. Or like Liar Liar, okay. That's my favorite Jim Carrey movie. That might do it. And then 2000s, I mean, there's a lot of really good comedies that have come out. I might say Shaun of the Dead.
Okay,
I think that movie is like endless. In the way, the reason I like Ghostbusters so much is I think that movie is like endlessly rewatchable.
Yes,
right. You can watch Ghostbusters over and over again, and it gets funnier every time.
Yeah,
Shaun of the Dead is that way for me, and it's probably one of the only movies I can think of that's made in the last like 10 years that. Is like that for me.
Yeah. Patrick? Pre-80s?
Caddyshack's pre-80s, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great choice.
One of Bill Murray's best roles ever.
Well, even Chevy Chase.
Yeah, Chevy is fucking great in that movie.
Yeah, everybody in that movie.
And who plays the judge? Well, that guy.
What is his name?
Spalding, like he's great. Yeah, world needs ditch diggers too, Danny.
So, movie from the '80s, comedy.
I would go Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap for sure. Yeah. That I fucking love that movie, man. These Go to 11 is one of my favorite gags.
Yeah, it's so fucking amazing. Like.
There's all those things.
Christopher Guest is so amazing with what he does.
Listen to the sustain on it.
The little things.
You haven't played anything. Yeah, but just listen.
Just listen.
Like, when... there's just those parts, like you have with Ghostbusters that...
Yeah.
And I found somebody, like, somebody put up a post, like, somebody I don't know, but, like, it's the part where they're at the hotel, and the manager gets really pissed, and the hotel, like, concierge is like, I'm just as God made me. Like, as his defense. Like, that part to me, I was like, that's one of the funniest moments in the movie. And, like, it gets glossed over because there's so much going on.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so moving into the 90s.
I would say I have two. When I saw Happy Gilmore in the theater, I lost my mind.
That's my favorite.
And there's still parts that... And that has rewatchable. I'd probably say that.
Oh, for sure.
And I was always more a fan of Black Sheep because I was.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. It's essentially the same movie, but I think it's much funnier than Tommy Boy.
I've seen them both, and Black Sheep got me. I was an overweight kid, and Chris Farley was, honest to God, he was my world. Anything Chris Farley, I wanted to be like him.
Yeah. Well, until...
And then I took 2 days off of school. My mom let me stay home because I honestly, to God, was fucking devastated.
Wow.
Because, like, my goal was to... I knew he'd be off Saturday Night Live by the time I was old enough to be on it, but my goal was to work with him in some capacity. Like, when I say my goal, like, that was everything.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites in the 90s for SNL and stuff like that, and he influenced a lot of the... Like comedy wise that I watched, like Tommy Boy and all that, Black Sheep, and just everything that Chris Farley did was like fucking amazing. Like he was just he was naturally funny. Mm-hmm. Like he didn't have to do anything differently. It's just that there's the one scene that is always it's on the best of SNL and everything like that is when he's playing that guy and he comes in that fucking vest and he's like rocking out. He's like, "Hey, you kids!" And he's
the
like,
motivational speaker.
Yeah, and he falls on that fucking table. It's like the best fucking thing in the entire world. Like,
I actually want to talk about Black Sheep because, like, my thing about that is, I think for one, like, the jokes in it are just better jokes, like overall, than in.
Is that the Fraley Brothers? Did they write that?
No, I don't know who did that. It was one of the SNL movies, so it was like one of their you know,
Tommy Boy wasn't, was it?
Yeah, it was. I think they were both SNL movies. And I just think the jokes are better in it. But the other thing that I really like about Black Sheep And it's funny because I'm not even that big of like a physical comedy guy.
Right.
They like really took the physical comedy elements to like a way like bigger height with Black Sheep. Yes, they were like they were much larger gags, but they work so well in that movie. Yeah. Like he pulls that off in a way that no other comedian I can think of like really is able to pull off. And he, just the scene where he's running down the hill with the phone in his ear and he hits that branch, which is the dumbest, like most obvious physical comedy joke you could do, is so he's so funny when he does it. Like, he is so funny.
Yeah.
The whole sequence with the cabin is one of my favorite things.
Oh, like mine too.
That cabin sequence is amazing to me. That is so funny. When the refrigerator's hanging by its cord and he's just staring it down. It's so funny.
There's that, and they go to Gary Busey.
Yeah! Dude, and the whole thing where he gets he's backstage smoking weed with all those Rastafarians, and then he gets out on stage. He's like, "Kill Whitey!" That is amazing.
He's got like the whole crowd going.
That's amazing. Like, yeah.
moving from there into current, do you have a favorite comedy movie that you've watched recently, or just kind of sticks out from 2000 on?
Step Brothers. I've seen it.
Will Ferrell is a genius.
The replay value on that, and when those two are together in any John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, I mean,
I was going to tie in a Will Ferrell movie into my current one, but I have a different one. But I'll start with my the original. I would have to go. Well, Slapshot is my favorite comedy of all time, and that's pre-80s, but also Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, that's a great choice.
Yes.
Blazing Saddles. Anything Mel Brooks did prior, anything Mel Brooks does, period.
He's
one of the greatest comedy writers of all time. And he knows exactly what he wants, and he loves his actors, especially Gene Wilder's.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder in a comedy movie is the funniest fucking thing. You can't get better than Gene Wilder in any comedy.
Have either of you ever seen See No Evil, Hear No Evil?
I was just going to say that.
Love that movie.
People always name the other movie that those two are in.
Well, there's a bunch they were in, like Stir Crazy and...
Stir Crazy is the one, but it's Hear No Evil, See No Evil. That movie, I love it. Lost that movie.
Yeah.
And it has one of my favorite jokes. They're in a car together. So the premise is Gene Wilder is deaf and Richard Pryor is blind.
Yes.
And they get in a car at one point. They're in a car chase. And for some reason, they decide that Richard Pryor, the blind guy, is who should be behind the wheel. So he's behind right? He's behind the wheel driving, and he's telling Gene Wilder to, like, watch the road, you know, and tell him, like, call things out to him.
Yeah.
And so Gene Wilder's, like, calling things out to him, and Richard Pryor's driving, looking, like, with his head turned to the right, looking at Gene Wilder, going, like, yeah, okay. And then Wilder goes, "Will you keep your eyes on the road?" And Richard Pryor goes, "Well, if it'll make you feel better." And he turns his head.
Also going into that Airplane.
Airplane
is one of my favorite movies. But then tying into the 80s and 90s, I'm not sure where it falls. I think it's the 90s. Is Hot Shots? I think it's Charlie Sheen in Hot Shots in the 90s.
I would say it's probably right on the cusp.
Yeah, I think it's 90s where it comes in. Hot Shots is one of the favorite movies. And that ties in. I think it's Farrelly Brothers. I think they wrote
I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Hot Shots is one of the fucking...
It's a great movie.
It's so funny.
Yeah,
and that's where a lot of my comedy upbringing is. My dad always made me watch like these movies. Like, I think it's the same people that wrote Airplane did. They did Hot Shots. They did Mafia, which was another great movie in the early 90s with Jay Moore.
Yeah,
and that movie was so funny. But that's not in my top thing. I'm trying to think in the 80s. It would probably be The Goonies.
Okay,
would be one of my favorite comedies. Goonies and Ghostbusters, but I can't. Like, I mean, I watched Money Pit, like, is in there too. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a lot of those 80s comedies that I love. Going to the 90s, my favorite 90s movie, and I don't care what anybody says, is Ace Ventura. I think that movie I don't even care if it stands the test of time. Is that Ace Ventura? Jim Carrey playing Ace Ventura, he is the biggest asshole ever. Like, he is straight up an asshole in that whole movie. And it's so amazing because A, I love animals. B, I love Jim Carrey. C, Jim Carrey being an asshole loving animals. And then, like, just being an asshole to everybody else in the fucking movie is the best fucking thing that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
The opening scene of that movie where he's walking with a box and, like, just smashing it on everything. I'm like, this is brilliant. This is like the best fucking thing I've ever. Like me and my buddy Ron watched Ace Ventura and we're like just laughing our fucking asses off, just watching like everything that's going on. I'm like, it just makes me. And my favorite comedy recently is a tie between Superbad, because I love Superbad.
I like Superbad.
Superbad holds up.
Yeah.
It's a three-way tie. I'll go Superbad. I'm going to do Pineapple Express, because I think Pineapple Express,
I like Pineapple Express.
I do too.
Holds up with,
I think
with the jokes.
James Franco's.
Yes. James Franco's brilliant character. I think that's what brings me into it. And then Scott Pilgrim.
I like Scott Pilgrim a lot.
Scott Pilgrim is possibly one of the best movies I've seen in the past 10 years.
I would totally agree with that.
Scott Pilgrim, have you seen Scott Pilgrim?
I have.
As I had the movie poster hanging up on the wall behind us with my ticket of seeing it on the opening day, not knowing that it was a comic book before the movie came out. I found out after it came out. But it doesn't matter, is because I think Edgar Wright knows what he's doing.
The comic is incredible.
Yes.
You should read the
comic.
Well,
no,
really
I know now that it's a comic book, it's really and good. I want to read it. But
it's also a brilliant adaptation. That's like
but
a
I
really,
hear
really great
it's,
adaptation.
But Michael Cera in that movie, perfect. Like, Michael Cera, prior to Scott Pilgrim, plays this kind of, like, dopey teenager kid in every movie. And now in Scott Pilgrim, he's playing a character that's, A, an asshole.
He was Bill Murray. He
yeah.
was like a young Bill Murray.
He's like
movie.
A, yeah, it's, he plays it so well, it's because he's so self-aware of himself.
He's very egotistical in that movie, which
that's
is something we've never really got
so
to see him do
good.
Before. And he's, yeah, he's really good.
Have you guys seen Nick and Nora?
Yes.
I have not seen that,
I've
actually.
Seen
I've heard
I didn't
it's very
like
good.
It.
And I couldn't tell you why. It's one of those movies that I just liked it.
Yeah.
And, like, I liked it a lot.
Actually,
and
like
I couldn't tell you
like
why.
That, where you have, like, low expectations.
Yeah.
You sit down and you're like, this is just good. It makes
I remember,
me feel great.
I oh. watched it on demand. I was in Boston going through withdrawal, and I watched it on demand, and, like, I was like, I like that. But, like, I couldn't pinpoint why. It just,
yeah.
I just did, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to accept that.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm going back to my 80s. I figured out my favorite 80s movie. I'm going to say it. Better Off Dead. John Cusack.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
That movie just... The aspect of directing of that movie is so amazing. John Cusack in the 80s was, like, top of his game. And, like, you haven't seen him in a comedy or act that well in a comedy till Hot Tub Time Machine, I think. So I think that he was actually really good in Hot Tub Time Machine. But Better Off Dead is it's so funny. Like, the whole movie in
itself is...
Because it knows that it's being fucking ridiculous. And John Cusack the whole time is, like... He's so oblivious to everything going on around him. Like the same thing with Say Anything is amazing movie. John Cusack had he knows that he had his time and that he was like the biggest like comedy like heartthrob at a time. I don't think he's a heartthrob at all. Like I think John Cusack okay, A, he could be good looking to a point. High Fidelity is still one of my favorite movies. As a comedy, I don't really see it as a comedy. I kind of see it as more of a dramatical piece. Like, the book's not supposed to be funny. Like, the book isn't funny.
The book is funny.
Well, no. To me, it wasn't funny. Like, I've read the book. But, like, when they made the movie, it ties in really well. But in the book, as if the parts that you're supposed to find funny and, like, with the way he's coming off as, like, being, like, kind of an asshole and then, like, kind of realizing himself at the end, I think in the movie it plays off a little bit better is that he... It's bringing more of a comedy aspect to the book than what I read of it.
I'm going to disagree with you only because I think that High Fidelity is one of literally the best adaptations I've ever seen because that movie practically is that book almost word for word.
Yeah.
There's like really nothing different about it.
But think of a different actor that would play that
role.
Oh,
no. I agree with you that he's perfect. But part of the reason he's perfect is because he understood what was funny about that book. He didn't make it funny.
The
book
best,
is just funny, and he understood
scene,
what was funny about it.
The best thing we'll say for word is in High Fidelity, going into it, is the scene where he's talking to Charlie, and Charlie's in the art studio, and she's like, oh, I'm with Marco now. And he's on the street in the rain. He's like, Charlie, you fucking bitch, let's work this out. And he's like stumbling and just like, just such a mess. It's just, that scene is just like cracks me up every time. It's like, I can put that movie on. And also another movie from the 2000s is Mean Girls. I think Mean Girls is like one of the, that's a Tina Fey.
I actually haven't seen that, but I've heard it's great.
Tina Fey at like her best. Like, yeah. Lindsay Lohan in that movie.
It's a good movie.
In the 90s with Clueless. It's like another one. Like, those chick flicks that you never, like, really, like, expect anything out of. Clueless holds up. Like, Paul Rudd in that movie is fucking amazing. Like, that's, I think that might be one of Paul Rudd's best, like, starting out roles, like, of anything. Like, Paul Rudd is a genius. Like,
he's very funny.
He's naturally, he's another, like, Chris Farley, where he's naturally funny. Like, anything you put him in. And I feel the same way about Adam Scott. Like, Adam Scott.
I think Paul Rudd's a genius. I think it took a while for, not necessarily him, but I guess Hollywood.
For the world to come.
To find his niche.
Yeah. Like, with Paul Rudd, like, more recently, like, with, like, Role Models, I think he's perfect in Role Models.
I love Role Models. That's actually a movie where I would say, like, I went into that with, like, no expectations at all. And I came out of it being like, I don't know why I like that movie so much, but I really like that movie.
Yeah. I think he's brilliant, and I love you, man.
I love you, man, and What Hot American Summer.
Yeah, What Hot American Summer is great. He's really funny in What Hot American Summer, actually. You taste like a burger.
Yeah.
Like, he just another throws movie, like, his tray on the ground.
Is that 2000s, right?
It's probably early 2000s.
Yeah.
It's like, that's another movie. Like, it's just, there's a lot of comedies that come out. Like, David Wayne is, like, a brilliant director.
I actually think the 2000s were very good, like, a really great decade for comedy.
Yeah.
But, like, with us growing up, there's a lot of movies back in the 90s that probably hit home a lot. Like, Home Alone, like, those movies are so funny.
I was actually thinking while we were talking, I didn't bring up any Kevin Smith movies, and I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan.
Yeah, Clerks.
And a lot of his,
and Mallrats, and Chasing Amy.
Clerks is...
Chasing Amy is, like, absolutely one of my favorite movies. I think that movie is really,
funny. Better?
And also very, like, realistic to the way people actually act in relationships.
Yeah, like...
Mallrats, I mean, not realistic at all, but Mallrats, I think, is a great movie.
It's very funny.
But that's where, Mallrats is where I realized that Jason Lee is actually really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And he's brilliant in that movie. And my favorite thing is, because exactly what happened to me before, is his girlfriend sleeps over, and she wants to get breakfast, and he's sitting in bed playing NHL on Sega, and he's like, I'm winning. And they show the cut screen, and he's winning, like... 24-0 and he's just like, I gotta play this final period, and she's like, oh, and she gets so angry, he's like, baby, what's wrong? And then she just leaves, and he just goes back to playing. And that's exactly like what I do in a relationship, like, kind of like in a relationship, is like, when I'm in a game, even though, like, I know I'm gonna win, like, I have to finish it out, like, despite whatever's going on around me. And Jason Lee plays it off, and Kevin Smith captured that perfectly, like, with being, like, in that, like, teenage relationship where guys are into video games, girls are into shopping and, like, doing all their own thing. Though it kind of seems stereotypical, but at the time, Kevin Smith nailed it.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith now, I can't really say...
I still like him in his movies.
See, Red State I liked, except for the whole opening scene. I liked everything except for the whole... Did you see Red State?
No, I want to see Red State, but what's the... there's another one.
Clerks 2?
Oh, Cop Out?
Cop Out?
Cop Out.
Yeah, Cop Out was very so-so.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, but I was like, it was different for him.
Yeah, it was. Red State is, like, really entertaining to watch if you're...
I didn't like the
I like
the
him
first
on that show,
the...
Comic Book Man.
Yeah, yeah. I actually like that show a lot. It's actually based on a podcast he's been doing for, like, 3 years.
And I collect toys, and I want to take a pilgrimage.
Yeah, yeah. His shop is great. I did want to bring up, since we were talking about it, one of my favorite things in Mallrats is in the very beginning when he gets broken up with. He's reading the letter to his friend, T.S.
Yeah.
And T.S. looks at the letter and he goes, ooh, she calls you callow. And he goes, what do you mean? I thought that was the only good thing. He goes, it means shallow and ill-willed.
All right. Well, wrapping up with the comedy things, we're going to go into the movie. We're going to watch this. We're also at 28 minutes. These conversations went so long.
It's fine.
So we're going to have to wrap
like
up
it.
These...
let's do this trailer.
We'll do the trailer.
Yes.
We're going to watch the trailer. We're going to do a quick recap on the trailer. And then we'll end it. And sadly, just to say to Patrick's...
Well, let's say goodbye to Patrick. And then we'll see everybody next week for possibly a double stuff.
Double stuff. We know that Joe Bell and Allison Zeidman from Without are
a lot of glasses is going to be in the room.
A lot of glasses.
What the fuck am I saying? I'm wearing glasses.
Yeah.
All three of us are.
What an asshole. All
right, so we're going to we'll take a break. We're going to be right back. We're going to watch this trailer. You should watch it, too. It's on our website. Watch it.
The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Yes, Steve Carell. I'm not excited about this.
I am.
I am.
Yep. Bye. Hey guys, it's me again with another advertisement for your listening pleasure.
What are you advertising today,
Garrett? Amazon.com.
Amazon.what?
Com. Amazon.com, where you can buy literally everything.
Wait, is it the forest?
The forest. You could buy a forest on there. Guarantee you put forest in Amazon.com, you will get a result.
What?
Yep. There's a link on our website, which is trailertrashpodcast.wordpress.com. And there's a little Amazon button. So if you need to shop for literally anything at all, just go to our website first, click the Amazon button. It'll bring you to normal Amazon. You can shop as you normally would.
And it kicks a little money back to the show. Isn't that right, Garrett?
That's right, because that's what I just said.
Yeah, it kicks money back to the show. Help donate for do the show thing.
Yeah.
Can you put that into the search bar?
You can put that exact phrase into a search bar if you can figure out what letters it contains.
So go to trailertrashpodcast.wordpress.com and click on the Amazon banner and type in Garrett, and you can get a picture of Garrett. You
probably get stuff for your attic, because apparently that's what Garrett is a word for in Germany.
All right, nice. Do that. And now this.
Hi, we're back.
And we're back.
We just watched the trailer for The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, starring Steve Carell, Jim Carrey, Olivia Wilde, Alan Arkin. Yep. Steve Buscemi. Directed by Don Scardino, who has directed some television.
All right, so I didn't watch this trailer going into it. Now that I watched the trailer, I'm going to see this movie.
Yeah.
Like, flat out.
I'm going to be honest, it's not a great trailer, but I love the concept, and I'm excited to see the people that are in it do what they're doing.
I just love the fact that Jim Carrey, like, I didn't, all right, so I know when I made the little cheat sheet that we use every week, and I put Jim Carrey down, and I didn't really think about it when I put it down, and I watched the trailer, I'm like, oh, Jim Carrey actually might be funny again. It kind of seems
like... I feel like they waited just enough time that the whole, like, magic thing kind of died down.
Yeah.
And now they're really, I can't even talk. I don't think it's going to be, like...
The best thing.
One for the ages, but I think it's going to be a good movie.
Sure, yeah, I agree.
And it's going to have those lines that people are going to repeat that are really...
I mean, we all literally, like, that was an explosive laugh when Jim Carrey was like, your skin makes me cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's those little moments that'll make the whole movie work.
Well, because, like, when I made the cheat sheet, like, I just take down when IDB, like, gives you the top actors. And if I, see in, like, because we did The Iceman, and Michael Shannon wasn't in the top billed actors. And I was like, wait, he's on the poster. Why isn't he there?
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of just took on this one. I was like, oh, it's a comedy. Director's a TV writer. Like, he's a TV director. He doesn't really do movies. So I'm actually kind of curious about this one. Like, it kind of struck me in a little... Like, something I wasn't expecting for it.
Well, I know that this... I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. This was, like, after The 40-Year-Old Virgin, this was something that Carell really wanted to do.
Oh, he wanted to do
it. Yeah, like, he had this... If my memory serves, he had this idea for, like, where he wanted to play a magician and do a movie about magicians, and specifically about the idea of, like, the old guard of magicians sort of having to, like, move out and take second billing to this, like, new guard of magicians that were doing a very different kind of magic, basically. And I think that that's, like, a really funny concept in and of itself.
Yeah.
And it's also really funny watching Jim Carrey get cast as the guy that's, like, the new... guard magician when to some extent he would actually be considered like the old guard comedian with Steve Carell coming up as the new guard underneath him.
But they're like the same age, which is like
I know.
But what also I realized is that Alan Arkin can do anything.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Absolutely.
He probably is like one of the funniest people I've ever ever seen. Like just thinking back is like we've done all these podcasts, like we just did the 25th anniversary, and Alan Arkin's nominated for a dramatic role in Argo. Like, he's nominated as the best, like, supporting
dramatic actor. Role. I mean, my understanding is he's pretty funny in it.
Yeah, but, like, but just all the... Sorry, I'm just hearing shit going on in the background, and my roommates are watching Django, so...
But, he's also, you know, I mean, he was in, like, Glengarry Glenn Ross, you know, which is funny, but is mostly a drama.
Yeah,
and he's very good in
so
it.
He's so good in Glengarry
he's great.
Glenn Ross. And I just, that was the first time I ever watched that was this year.
Oh, that's an awesome movie.
I'm looking for it. Like, a movie like this, the movie, like I said, probably won't hit it out of the park.
Sure.
But the DVD, like the blue.
Yeah, the it's gag gonna be one reels, of those movies.
Like, when you have comedians that are that good from different eras all together.
But it's that also thing is that I'm surprised that Steve Buscemi wasn't billed higher in this movie or had a bigger role. I don't know what his role is actually in the movie. It looks like he's Steve Carell's sidekick kind of thing. But Steve Buscemi has a huge, like, his thing from being a comedy actor into being in Boardwalk Empire is, like, it's really refreshing to see that he hasn't lost that of wanting to do a comedy role.
Yeah.
Because I watched Boardwalk Empire, like, it's like a show that I have to be home on Sundays. I have to watch it, like, just A, because of him, and B, because the show is really well written and it's a drama. Like, it's drama. It's not a comedy at all. I mean, there's funny moments in it. But Steve Buscemi proved to me in the past 10 years that he can do anything. And it's finally about time that he's getting the due that that it's deserved, I guess. I mean, the Coen brothers tried to do that with him too, and they really did with Fargo. Like, Fargo, he is brilliant.
Oh, he's hilarious in them.
He's great in pretty much all the movies that they put him in.
Yeah, and I mean, Adam Sandler ties him with the comedy. So, I mean, he has that background of, like, he's really one of the best parts in any of the Adam Sandler movies. Like, when he shows up, know, like, it's fucking Steve Buscemi. Especially
Wedding
Big Daddy.
Singer.
Singer, Big Daddy. Like, the Big Daddy role sticks out to me the most is him, like, being in, like, the homeless man with, like, the shopping cart, and he's, like...
Yeah.
It's just so funny. It's, like, he goes from that to Boardwalk Empire, and now he's actually doing movies. Like, God knows, like, if he gets a dramatic role later on in life, like, Ghost World was, like, one of his bigger movies. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you, Garrett, if you've
seen
it.
I love
that
movie.
Like, my girlfriend has a Ghost World tattoo, and I ask her all the time, like, what she thinks of the movie, and she's, like, Steve Buscemi's, like, he plays it perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, that whole being off that graphic, like, the graphic novel is based off of into playing it, and it's another great adaptation of
comic book movies into
film. But it's another thing. It's like it's thrown subtly underneath, like, because American Splendor is another one that I really like. It's an adaptation that nobody really talks about. That was a comic book before it was a movie.
That's a great one with Paul Giamatti.
It's really good.
Paul Giamatti, like, especially his whole voice all the time.
Harvey Pekar, yeah.
And I just recently watched John Dies at the End with
Paul
Giamatti.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I've been hearing great things about
that. It's good. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I liked it. But I liked it for another reason for what other people... Like, other people aren't going to like it. Like, when it comes, like... I think it's released now. I think it's, like more wide than it was. It's weird. You have to understand what's going on because it's weirdly edited. I mean, for a Sundance movie, for what it did in Sundance and stuff, I appreciate it. But for an overall movie, it's going to be in Ritz. Like, it's not going to be like a world, like a wide release. Paul Giamatti doesn't really have a big role in it. Like, he's kind of a subtle character. But I love Paul Giamatti. I think he's so funny. And, well, just in general, as an actor, I think he's great. And people kind of find, like, play him off as not being that kind of actor as doing that. But I can deal with it. I don't know where I'm going on this rant, but
I don't even know how you're stopping
Paul
Giamatti.
You're getting, like, real. Like, I don't know. I would just, like, I don't know. Maybe just go down on. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm in for this movie, though. Like, this will probably be like, I'll probably smoke, like, 2 joints for this movie, you know what I mean? Like, get, like, good buzz going on, go sit down and, like, just enjoy, like, a bunch of really good comedians doing some funny stuff.
Yeah. Do you have a zero to, or a nilch to life?
I'm gonna go.
You're gonna see it?
Yeah. Now, you know what? Let's be honest. I'll definitely rent the DVD, or buy the DVD. That's what I'll do. I'll buy the DVD.
No, you know what's gonna happen? Is I'm gonna pencil this down. This movie comes out March 15th. We three are gonna go see it.
Alright.
And then after we see it, because we have yet to do this.
Nope.
We haven't done it for any movie, but I'm going to put it in the calendar. March 15th, the movie comes out. That weekend, we are going to go see the movie. You're going to do your whatever joints thing.
That's right.
I want to see it in the theaters. Now, after watching this trailer, it's the first time I've seen, like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I'm in.
We're going to go watch it, and we're going to do a podcast right afterwards. We'll come back here.
Done.
We'll do
a
bonus episode. We'll talk about the movie. Weird comedy movie. I'm kind of interested in all this talk that we've been doing for this past week. That's been awesome.
Plus, I would not mind looking at Olivia Wilde for another 2 hours.
Exactly.
Every time somebody puts her in a movie, I'm like, okay.
And you know she knows comedy because she's with...
She's actually really funny.
She's really funny, and she's with Jason Sudeikis.
Yes.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes.
I think they're even, like,
good
engaged.
For fucking him.
Yeah, Jason Sudeikis is another comedy icon that
I
love,
like,
right now.
Yeah.
Bobby Moynihan from SNL right now, too, is one of my favorite comedy people that
he came up with Derek Comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Dominic Tirkis, but you're thinking of...
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover, yeah.
Yes.
Sudeikis, there's this movie on Netflix. I don't remember ever seeing anything about it. It's called... Good old American Orgy.
Oh, so funny.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
It was He's fucking good. So good in that.
Yeah.
It's one of those, another one of those Sundance movies that came
Nick
out
Kroll's in that.
Yeah. Oh, I love Kroll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into that. I'm going to check that out. I keep seeing it on Netflix, yeah. So I want to watch it. All right.
Watch it. It's fun.
That's what I did. I just finally was like, you know, fuck it, I'll just watch it.
Well, like that movie Horrible Bosses was not a great movie, but very funny because those three guys were so good together, and I felt like Sudeikis really like held that movie down.
No, he was really fucking funny. I think Charlie Day held it down.
Oh, he's really fun. I mean, I think they're all really funny in it, but something about Sudeikis is like... Jennifer Aniston was really funny.
She was actually their whole thing. Charlie Day and Jennifer Aniston's whole vibe about that is
Jason Bateman in The X.
Yes,
The X. Which one is
he
that?
He plays in the wheelchair. It's with Zach Braff.
And I haven't seen that.
So funny.
He
Jason Bateman in anything is amazing. In that movie.
Yeah.
But Patrick, we have to say goodbye to you.
Yeah, buddy.
We don't want to, man. But we have to say goodbye. And you asked to go pick up your friend at the airport.
That's true.
3 days ago.
Yeah.
So, before we leave, how can people find you?
Patrick Graves IV at Twitter. And just Patrick Graves on Facebook.
Awesome.
This has been a blast. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
We're going to have you back. Yeah. I love this movie conversation. Yeah. And we'll have you back. And we're going to go in March. And we're going to go see this movie. And we're going to do a... maybe we'll see all of them. We'll see Tyler Perry.
Jesus Christ.
I think we should see Tyler Perry.
Yeah, let's stick with the... Well, let's see the Magician movie and then...
Yeah, we'll see how that there. Goes. Yeah.
Play by ear.
Garrett, how can people...
I'm on Twitter, at Philadelphia. That's with an F.
And Open Mic Nights.
Yeah, Open Mic Nights.
I have to say that every time.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody featured me on a show, so I have something to talk about.
I don't care if you guys shit all over me, but listen to this podcast, rate it. Leave comments. Get it. Tell your friends because this is a really cool podcast.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
It was seriously a pleasure having you. It was fun.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I had a blast.
You can find me on Twitter. I'll do my vlogs afterwards.
Dude, yeah, all right. Good fun.
At Mike Bauer, Baurer, and you can find us on Twitter as a podcast at Trailer Trash Pod. No E.
No E.
Without the E. Without the E. www.trailercharspodcast.wordpress.com.
When you go there, you put the E in.
Yeah,
I fucked that up last time.
Rate us on iTunes. Like Patrick said, it'd be awesome if you can do that so we can get more ratings. Go there, follow us on Twitter, do all that stuff. Find us on Facebook, we're on there. Check out Super Crappy Fun Time. Awesome, another awesome podcast that has comedians on, and they do a completely different thing that we do.
Yeah, but it's a really good show.
I love that show. And go do that, Dan Scully, who was...
Chris Cottendish did an episode on it that was fucking hysterical.
Yeah,
it was really funny.
They're good dudes. So go out and check that out. And we'll be back on Friday with the first episode with Joe Bell.
Joe Belly. Old Joe Belly.
I'm not excited to have Joe Bell on because this has been postponed 8 times. but Joe Bell is a great guy. And
hey, Mike.
Hey.
That was actually a very great Joe Bell.
That was a great
I've worked on my Joe Bell a lot.
Do you want,
all
right,
but
so,
all it is me walking around my apartment. My fiance has seen Joe Bell perform, so it's like she knows who I'm doing, and I just walk around. And I'm like, "Hey guys!"
Okay, so what I'm going to start doing is on the final episode that we have people on is I want you now to end the show saying goodbye as Joe Bell, and we'll just go out like that. No byes. You just end the show as ever you want to, as your impression of Joe Bell.
As Joe Bell.
As Joe Bell.
Bye, guys. He always says, hey, I can't really.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
It's hard when I got to say
funny
bye.
Funny in and of itself, actually.
This has been a Trailer Trash Podcast. Produced by Mike Bauer and Garrett Smith. Special thanks to FolkUphilly.com.
Hey, yo, man, thanks for listening. Thanks for coming out. Hey, yo, Father Garrity, rest in peace, man. Yo, Mitch, give that wife the dick all day.